This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics will be giving all eligible Australians the opportunity to express their view on whether Australian marriage laws should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry. Survey forms will be sent to all eligible Australians on the Commonwealth electoral roll. To participate, you must be enrolled. To enrol, check or update your details, visit the AEC website, search AEC or visit an AEC office. The roll closes Thursday, August 24. Authorised by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Canberra. Spoken by Jake Downs.
Joy Sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy Sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Drummond Street Services provide a lot of support for LGBTI community members and other community members. Karen Field from Drummond Street is with us, and we'd like to talk about the specialist services for people involved and victims of LGBTI family violence. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Great, thank you. Good morning.
Good. Quickly, so it's Macca here and Neil Mitchell is with us. The level of LGBTI family violence, this is an issue that people didn't want to talk about for a very, very long time. Some of us were quite surprised at the level of it within our community. Can you give us a bit of a handle on, you know, what level it is at? Is it higher than in other communities, or is it a factor of reporting or underreporting?
Well, I think the important thing to note is that when we're talking about family violence, we're talking about all age groups across the LGBTI community. So that, of course, includes sex and gender diverse children and young people. So when you look at intimate partner relationships, adult intimate partner relationships, we see probably about the same rates as their heterosexual peers. But certainly there are some indications in research that perhaps our bisexual and transgender community might have slightly higher rates. And then when looking at sex and gender diverse children and young people, we do see possibly slightly higher rates of young people that might be at risk of family violence than their heterosexual peers.
Karen, Neil Mitchell, is it improving? Is it getting any better? I've got family who work in the area of counselling, family violence, and they don't hold out much hope that things are. And there's certainly much more public attention on it, but is it improving? Is the world getting any better?
No, look, I've got to say, we're certainly not improving in terms of rates. And look, I see that every day within our kind of clinical data, both within our kind of, for want of a better word, mainstream heterosexual kind of services, but also in our LGBTI services as well, dealing with this as an issue. What we see in, I think, in the kind of mainstream family violence services is an emphasis now on realising that the community need to have greater awareness of family violence, and therefore we're probably seeing, because of the conversations about family violence more broadly, particularly in Victoria around the Royal Commission, there's much more conversations about what does actually family violence look like as a set of behaviours, and also the onus on us all to kind of step in. Now, what makes it difficult within the LGBTI community is that this is in the context of our community struggling to get recognition of their relationships. And it's complicated because that makes it very difficult for people to kind of, you know, pardon the pun, come out and talk about violence and recognise violence. And I think, you know, the other thing is that we are a community that have higher rates of having people who are actually disconnected from family. So, in fact, what happens is that the very relationship that you have is a very small community, and to walk away from a violent relationship often means you're walking away from the only community you have available to you. So it's actually quite complicated.
So does that mean, it sounds, by the way you're describing it, that people are less likely to recognise as a problem, not only less likely to report, but other people within the community who are decent people and not part of any family violence incidents will not recognise it, are not aware of it? Is there a level of ignorance still there compared to the heterosexual community where at least over the past couple of years there's started to become more awareness?
Yeah, and I think sometimes that family violence within LGBTI communities plays out and looks slightly different. Threats to, withhold someone's HIV medication, threats to out people to their family, all sorts of, an array of controlling behaviours that seem to be slightly different within the LGBTI community, as well as the kind of very similar sorts of things. So there's a kind of, we often see people come in and say, I'm struggling in my relationship or I have mental health issues, because we provide a huge amount of mental health services to the community. And then when, in fact, you actually start to talk to people, they actually describe a set of behaviours that would actually meet the definition for family violence. And when you actually say that to them, they're quite shocked. Mm. But, I think if you talk to a lot of adult LGBTI people, they actually, when you really start to have conversations about what family violence looks like, they can actually name and think about people in their own community that they've never actually thought about in that way.
I was thinking, Karen, that I'm interested, just in a sec we'll get on to what services you guys can offer, that level of disconnection and the nature of some of these family violence incidents, and, you add in a sex and gender diverse group as well, it's probably, if you say the levels predominantly are at the same levels as in other communities, but because there are some of these other factors working, it would say to me that the incidence is possibly higher because of the...
And when you look at, say, rates within kind of refugee communities, when you look at rates within our Indigenous community, if you talk about communities that are far more likely to have childhood trauma, we know, for instance, that creates pathways to both being a victim but also being a perpetrator. So, in fact, as we start to kind of, unpack the kind of risk factors that we see in mainstream and then look at our community in terms of high rates of mental illness and, complex histories of trauma, isolation, all those sorts of things, it would make sense and it would follow that we could, in fact, have higher rates. And again, even our trans community and our bisexual community, again, have higher rates of that even within the kind of LGBTI more broadly.
Can I just, Karen, finally from me, if we'll make you king for the day, what do you do? What do you do to improve things? What do you do to change the world? What do you do to fix it? And you can do anything. You've got endless money, time. What do you do?
Yep. Look, I think there's a whole range of things in there. In terms of, and this is the fantastic thing about the kind of Andrews government support, is that they have not only allowed us to kind of be at the back end and help people who are in violent situations now, but to really try and work on prevention activities. And I think one of the things that we haven't done as an LGBTI community is have conversations about respectful relationships. How do we create the kind of commentary about what they need to look like, and therefore we get to what they shouldn't look like? And I think that would mean that people, start to have those conversations and therefore act. And we set up a kind of commentary about what good relationships, what's safe and what respectful relationships look like. So I think that would certainly be a starting point in terms of increasing community awareness and thinking about the way in which we enact kind of safe relationships. Because if we look at the kind of prevention efforts within more broadly family violence, it's about gender. And for our community, it's way more complicated than that, and we need to kind of have those, develop those concepts for ourselves, let alone for a trans woman for a trans man, et cetera, et cetera.
I know it's an oversimplification, but isn't it sad that you've got to teach people how to be decent? And I teach people that it is not acceptable to behave in these ways, to remove the medication or threaten to tell family, actually, your family. Or in the heterosexual sphere, it's not acceptable for the husband to be bashing his wife or intimidating or humiliating. Yeah. You've got to have decency lessons, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. I know we do, but isn't it sad?
Yeah. And also, I think on the one instance, we know, you know, the obvious link between discrimination, prejudice and poor mental health. We know, for instance, with sex and gender diverse children and for the LGBTI community more broadly, we focus on providing support to them. But in a strange way, we don't fund services that are able to work with, and this is a lot of work of our services, to actually work with families of sex and gender diverse children to offer them a coming out kind of process and really unpack that, because we know that if we support that family to make the shift to support their child, that is a hugely protective, even if they're in a school where they might receive some bullying or the kind of general sort of homophobic, transphobic kind of attitudes that are out there in the community. So there's lots of things that we can do, and I think what this funding does is allow to really have an active strategy, both prevention, early intervention when couples kind of get in strife, and at the other end of help people recover, but also deal with perpetrators.
Just quickly, because we've run out of time, Karen, contact details for Drummond Street?
Yes, it's 1-800-LGBTIQ, so that's very simple. And but also people can ring Switchboard and Switchboard as our partner organisation and the Victorian AIDS Council and TDV. They can make sure that, you know, our community can go to those services that they feel connected into, and all of those partners are, you know, incredibly skilled in working with this as an issue. So it's incredibly exciting that a great partnership of LGBTI orgs can get together on this.
Karen, thanks for your time. Thanks for your work. Really appreciate it. We're actually speaking to Jo Bell from Switchboard a little bit later in the show, so I'm sure we'll touch on
this. Fantastic.
As we said, 1-800-LGBTIQ. That's a good starting point, or Switchboard.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.